Praise the Lord. Welcome to the First Baptist Church, the Lighthouse on the Square, the whosoever church. And what that means is whosoever you are, you're welcome in this place. Amen. But I want to give you all a little warning. You know, we all have issues. I want you to know that, sir. You probably already noticed it. You have? Yeah, would you? We all have issues up in here. You know, we are just everyday people. We love the Lord. We're going to love you. And whosoever you are, you're welcome in this place. And I mean that. And as you can see, we have people from all persuasions and all different walks of life. And one thing about us is that we're real here. We're real here. We don't have any pretense, you know, that we're pretending to be one thing or another. You know, we're just people with issues who love each other. And we have a lot of babies. A lot of babies up in here. One thing we believe in is that that commandment is reproduce, go and multiply. Amen. We believe in that. So praise the Lord. But anybody has little babies and they're getting a little uncomfortable, we have the nursery over there. And we're going to be doing a children's church here in a few minutes after we pray. We believe in the power of God. We believe in reverence in God. We don't play with God. We are a God-fearing church. And what that means is we don't call him the big man upstairs. We don't say somebody up there, you know, is doing something for me. You know, somebody up there could be Mr. Johnson upstairs. You know, he's God and God Almighty. We don't call him, like I say, nothing else but who he is in God. And that's who he is. And that's what we do here. We reverence God and we worship him in the spirit and the truth. So let us go before the throne of God. Father, we come before you this morning giving you honor, glory, and praise. We just want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. Not only did you wake us up this morning, but Lord, you woke us up in our right mind to know that you are the only living true God that exists. So, Lord, we thank you that you open up our minds, that we know truly that you are the only true and one God. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here this morning and everybody in earshot of my voice. I pray, Father God, that the word that will come forth out of my mouth will not be of me, but be of you, Lord. A rhema word, a right now word, a word that will encourage us, a word that will challenge us, a word that we can glean, a word that we can retain, and a word that we can take and apply to our daily life to bring glory to your name. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning. If there's any sick amongst us, Lord, I ask, Father God, that you touch them. And those out there, Father God, that might be in their beds or hospital rooms or whatever it is, Lord, we ask, Father God, that the great physician will pour out that healing balm of Gilead, Father God, for healing. We pray, Father God, for those who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, nicotine, whatever it might be that's holding them in chains of bondage, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you will break that bondage this morning, that we won't walk out of here the way we walked in. For those who have addictions, oh, Father God. We pray, Father God, for those who are grieving over the death of a family member or loved one. We ask for the God of comfort to comfort them this morning, oh, Father. We just come before you this morning, Father, on our knees, humbly before us, before you, oh, Lord, asking that once again that we won't walk out of here the way we walked in. Give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear. Let our minds be renewed this day, Lord. And, Lord, we lift up our children. Lord, I commit our children unto your care. Keep them from the snares and the traps of the enemy, Lord. I pray for families this morning that you strengthen the family unit. I pray for marriages this morning that you strengthen the marriage unit also. And I pray for those of us who are single that you give us a contentment, oh, Father God, to be single, oh, Lord, to serve you. And for those who are looking for wives and husbands, oh, Father, I ask that you give them patience, that they won't choose the wrong one, but you would. They will wait for you, oh, Father God, to prepare and bring somebody forth to them. Lord, have your way here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, did everybody get good night's sleep last night? Because everybody seemed a little down, seemed a little subdued this morning. Did everybody get some energy up in here? Amen. Let's get some energy up in here. Praise the Lord. You know, and that excitement. When we come in to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's get excited this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to say to Elder Howard, you know, we give our deepest condolence to him and his wife and his family. He lost his stepdaughter here, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And so we want to really, you know, give our condolences to you. You know, our heart goes out to you, and anything that we can do to help, you know, with that. And also, there's going to be a benefit today for Elder Howie and his family to help out with some finances for them. Because, you know, his wife has been with her daughter all of this time, and she hadn't been able to work at all. And so we want to help out. And the benefit is going to be out here at Memes. Out on Route 3, they're going to have a spaghetti dinner out there for them. The spaghetti dinner is $12 for the dinner. And if you can't make it, Memes. It used to be the old Golden Unicorn out in Black River, going down to Black River. Yes, yes, yes. Memes. What is it? Memes? Memes. What did I say? Used to be the old Golden Unicorn. Anyway, and if you can't get out there, you know, if you can't get out there, we're going to have John, if you could get a basket or something over there at the door, would you please? And if you can't, you know what I mean? And if you want to donate, put the money in the basket at the door there. Grab one, Perry, yeah, and put it over there. And we will, you know, to bless the family. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, children's church. That's right. Kids, go to children's church and behave. Be good. All right. Amen. So good to see these kids back in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And today, you know, I'm so thankful for Elder Paul. You know, he's been doing Sunday school. I think next week is going to be his last week of teaching Sunday school, maybe. But anyway, you know, as he was teaching today, you know, it really blessed me to hear about, you know, our being faithful to the Lord, about being faithful and being honest to the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We have to be faithful because, you know, we're living in the last days. I like that shirt, young man, Team Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're on Jesus' team. And I like that. And that's what we need to be on, Jesus' team. Because if we're not on Jesus' team, we're on Satan's team. Do you know that? If you're not with God, you're against God. Do you know that? There's no middle of the fence. There's no I'm Switzerland. You know, Switzerland is in the middle, neutral. Ain't no neutral zone. You know, either you're saved or you're not saved. Amen. I'm gonna say that again. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. And for those of you who are here to save, you're on Team Jesus. And for those of you who are here that you don't know if you're saved or not, before you leave out of here, my prayer is that you will be on Team Jesus. That's my prayer. In the book of Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, thou which knoweth not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doeth not live by bread only." That man do not live by bread. He's talking about the children of Israel who came out of Egypt. And he fed them manna. He provided for them food every day. But he says, "Know that man doeth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live." Not only by food and water do man live, but he says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the God? The word of God. It's the word of God. Amen. That's how we truly. Now, yes, food and water, it will sustain us in the physical. In the physical. But how many of you know that those of us in Christ, we live in the supernatural? And in order for us to live that life and that abundant life, that life and that abundant life, we have to live by the word of God each and every day. As I said to you before, you know, we all need to take time out of our daily lives and seek the Lord to eat the word of God. Amen. To get into the word of God and so we can be fed the things that are supernatural. The word of God to live a supernatural life. So we heard that not only do you live by just food and water, but by the word of God. That word of God will give you something that will give you everlasting life. Food and water will give you life for here and now. I can't go out to Brookside Cemetery and take a bucket of KFC and go to a grave site, go to a grave and say, hey, I got a bucket of chicken. There's going to be no response, right? No response, because that person has died. That person no longer has anything to do with food and water. But the word of God, when we get that within us and it gets within our spirit, within our soul, within our everything, it gives us everlasting life. It gives us everlasting life, and we will live forever. So anyway, so we're there. We know that we're talking about now the word of God. Live by the word of God and the word of God only. So now, let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke 38 is where we start. And you know, and we all know this passage. Just in case one might not know it, we're going to set it up for you. Jesus had this family that he loved dearly. And he would go by and visit them from time to time. And the one sister was named Mary, and the other sister was named Martha. And they had a brother, yes. Huh? What'd I say? Yeah, Luke 38. What'd I say? Luke 10 and 38. Luke 10 and 38. I was just trying to see if y'all knew it. Y'all looking for Luke 38. I was trying to see if y'all knew that. Praise the Lord. Dennis was looking for 38. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, 10 and 38. Thank you, sister. And you know what? Once again, you know, it's better to put your trust in the Lord. And the good part about it is that she looked in the Bible and saw. For some of y'all sitting out there don't have your Bible with you, you had no clue. You had no clue. But those of who were in the Word of God, she says, wait, Pastor, there is no 38th chapter, because she got into the Word and saw it for herself. Did I say that correctly? She saw it for herself. Psalms 118:8, it's better to trust in the Lord, put confidence in man. And that's any man, including me, because I could be wrong. I was today, amen, and I'll probably be tomorrow also, not intentionally, but because, amen. I was getting ready to say because down foot just get on my nerve, but I ain't going to say it. And Dennis is here. That's why I'm distracted, because Dennis is here. Praise the Lord. Mary, I'm so happy to see you. It's so good to see y'all sitting up there. Praise the Lord. Where am I at? Thank you. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha. Now we talked about Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They were friends of Jesus. And so Martha had invited Jesus over for dinner. And to come and to have a Bible study. Amen. And it says, and Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now notice that word also. His disciples was with him. And Jesus came into the house. And he sat down. And it says, and also Mary sat at his feet. That is a thing where people who come and sit at the feet back in that day, they were coming to learn. They were students. They were disciples. They would sit at the teacher's feet. Just like, you know how the kids do sometimes when you're reading them a story? And they sit down on the floor and you're sitting in your rocking chair and you're reading them a story or whatever it is. What's the posture that they have? They're like this. They're listening to you, right? You have their undivided attention. They're listening to every word that you're saying, just like most of you are now. I said most of you, because I can look and see some of you. Dennis, I'm so happy you're here. Anyway, so she was sitting at his feet, and he was teaching. He was teaching. He was giving them some teaching. He was learning them the things of the ways of the Lord. And it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And she was listening to Jesus. Nobody else was interrupting. Nobody else was talking. Jesus was teaching, and he had their undivided attention. Now, what would make them have undivided attention? I'm glad you asked me. Because they know Jesus was the Messiah. They know Jesus was the rabbi, the teacher. They knew Jesus had the word of life. They knew Jesus had that you live by the word of God and the word of God only. Not only bread alone, but by the word of God, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. They knew this. It was something within them that wanted this. I'm going to say that again. It was something within them that wanted what Jesus had. Now, we all have not always wanted what Jesus had, right? Matter of fact, the Bible says that nobody seeketh after Jesus. No man. Until God calls them. Until Jesus puts his hand on them and brings them into the kingdom. Nobody wanted to hear nothing about Jesus. But it was something within them. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They knew that whatever he had to say was pertaining to eternal life. And not only eternal life, but a better life than where they are now. Whatever he was saying, they knew it was valuable. They knew it was valuable. So anyway, and it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was distracted. She was worried. She was involved in much serving. Now, wait a minute. Her sister and other people that was there, they had a focus. They had a focus. They had a priority. And the priority was Jesus is in the house. Jesus was in the house. And not only was Jesus in the house, Jesus was speaking the words of life, the words of truth. And they had an undivided attention listening to the word of Jesus. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. So, as they were listening to the word of God, they were getting impartations of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So they're hearing the truth. Now, let me say this here. I remember when I first got saved and I was listening to the pastor and some of the things that the pastor was saying and was reading out of the Bible, and it was in red letters, so I knew it was Jesus talking. I didn't like it. There were some things in the Bible that I did like and I received, but there was other things in the Bible that I didn't like and I didn't receive it. It wasn't to my I just didn't like it, because I know what he was saying was, if this is the truth, and what I'm living is not truth, I'm not living in the truth. I'm living outside of the truth. And to be honest with you, I like living outside of the truth because I've lived outside of the truth all my life. That's all I knew, was living outside of the truth. But now that I'm saved, now that the Holy Spirit was in me, I didn't like it, but it was something within me said, even though you don't like it, it's true. And if you are on Team Jesus, you have to accept this. You're not at a smorgasbord and say, I like this and I don't like this. I want a little of this and I don't want a little of that. Absolutely not. You got to take the whole thing to be on Team Jesus. And it took me a while. It took me a while to get the mindset of, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about me surrendering my life to Jesus. Let me read something. I read this every day. Yielding your life to Jesus. Yielding your life to Jesus is not an event. Do you know that? When we surrender our life to Jesus, it's not an event. It's a daily process. It's a daily God has worked in us. Working out holiness and righteousness. And living a righteous life. Amen? Because God has put those in. When we got born again, we got a new nature, right? Are you with me? We got a new nature, right? And so in that new nature, we got a new way of thinking. We got a new way of seeing. We got a new way of talking. We got a new way of living. Amen? If we truly are born again. Now, we can say we give lip service. We can give lip service. But the truth is, how are you living? The truth is how you live. And like I said, it took me a while. It took me a while, you know what I mean, to come to the point where, you know, what I'm doing, it doesn't line up with what Jesus is saying. It don't line up with what Jesus is saying. And it took me a minute. But over time, the Holy Spirit was renewing my mind. I said, if I'm going to be on Team Jesus, I can't be on Team Jesus just on Sundays. I can't be on Team Jesus just on Wednesdays. I can't be on Team Jesus when I see the people at church out in the streets. I got to be on Team Jesus all the time, every day, all day. I got to be on Team Jesus. And as I continue to get into the Word of God and the Word of God continually to get in me, those things that I really loved doing that was outside of the truth, he started taking those things out of me, and then he started putting things in me that was compensating for those other things. You know, I tell you know, I was, most of y'all know I was a drug addict for many, many years, and I'm still addicted. I ain't gonna lie, I'm still addicted, but I'm addicted to Jesus. See, he took that craving for drugs. He took that craving for unclean living. He took all those cravings of sinful things, and he's taking those things out of me. But what he's doing, he's putting those things in me to say, now you're on Team Jesus. You're not a part-time team member, you see. And, you know, it used to be how many of you used to ever play Sandlot basketball out in the playground and all that kind of stuff? You remember when people, you know, would come and they say, I got next. And then you pick your team. I pick you. I pick you. I pick you. And then I look at Steve. I look at Mikey. And I'm like, I pick Milo. I pick you. Dennis. But those who you pick, they stand up and they come out on the court, right? They come out to play. They don't just sit there. They come out to play. And when Jesus picks us, we stands up and we come out to live for him. But anyway, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was distracted about much serving and came to him and came. Now, listen, Jesus is having a Bible study. He's teaching. And she comes and interrupts him in his Bible study. People are sitting down. They're getting fed the word of God. And it says she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister? Wait a minute. Why didn't she go to Mary? Why didn't she say, Mary, get in here now? You know how some of y'all do. Miss Cooley, how you used to do to Scott? Scott, get in here now. Right now. Not without a switch. Amen. Why didn't she go to Mary? You know, that'd be the thing to do. But she comes and she interrupts the Bible study. She interrupts people hearing the word of God. Why did she do that? Because she was distracted. She was doing a work for Jesus. She was preparing him some meals. She was preparing to him and his disciples. She was preparing something for them to eat. And I'm sure they probably was hungry. You know, they traveled quite a bit. I'm sure that they could have used something to eat. Absolutely. But she said, Jesus, tell my sister to come in and help me. And said, doeth not thy care that my sister have left me to serve alone, to do this by myself? She can come help me, Lord. I'm fixing meals for you and for your disciples and for everybody here. I'm working for you, which is a good thing, right? Which is a great thing, right? And it says, bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus, make her come help me. Because she ain't listening to me. And you know why she went to Jesus? Because she had been at Mary before and Mary didn't pay no attention to her. Have you ever had somebody that you said, ask them to do something and they just don't do it? When your wife give you a honey-do list, or they ask you to do something and you act like you don't hear them, selective hearing. And sometimes we get hearing aids, we get it, and we don't wear them. Huh? Anybody have, amen that? Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so it could have been that she had been all since they were kids. Mary didn't listen to what Martha was saying. It sounded like Martha was a little bossy. Huh? Sounded like she's probably the big sister. And she was bossy. And Mary said, I had enough. I ain't listening to you no more. So she said, okay, I'm going to bypass you because I know you ain't going to pay no attention to me. I'm going to go to Jesus. And Jesus will make you come help me. That's what she's saying in her mind. Jesus will make you come help me. Let's see what Jesus did. Everybody know what he did, just in case one might not. This is what he did. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now notice he didn't say Martha. He just said Martha, Martha. He wanted to get her attention. He's saying this in front of everybody. Because she came and disturbed him in front of everybody. And he says, Martha, Martha. He says, you are careful and troubled about many things. You are worried and distracted about many things. He said, but one thing is needful. Let's camp out here for 1 minute. But one thing is needful. Not that casserole that you're cooking. Not that fried chicken that you're frying. Not that cornbread that you're making. Not that apple pie that you're cooking. Not them collard greens. One thing is needful. None of that. There's only one thing needful. And let me tell you what it is. Mary has chosen that good part. The one thing that is needful, your sister, who you want to get up and go back in the kitchen and help you and not hear what I have to say. You see, that one thing is needful, and that's undivided attention. One thing is needful is for you to be still and know that I'm God. One thing is needful that you hear that still small voice. One thing is needful that you understand that I am Messiah, and every word that come out of my mouth will give you life and life eternal. There's only one thing that's needful. Now, yes, the food, drink, we have to have it. But one thing that is needful, and he says, and Mary has chosen that good part. Listen to what he said. I didn't make Mary do this. I didn't mandate her to do this. She chose to block everything out of the way. She chose to focus on the main thing. She chose to focus on the main thing. Let me say something to you, church. We have so many distractions out here today. So many people, so much stuff is distracting us. The news and this and that, the killings and the pandemic and the political parties and on and on, all these distractions. But are we keeping the main thing the main thing? Something Elder Paul said today, he says, all of this stuff that's going on in the world today, he says, and people ask me, why am I so happy? Why I always got a smile on my face? It's because he has the main, he's focused. And we should be too. We should be too. We should be focused on the things of God, because the distractions of the world will take our focus off of Jesus. And when our focus is off of Jesus, we have all type of stuff. We get sad. We get afraid. We get mad. We get depressed. We get all kind of stuff when we're focusing on all this stuff that's going on in the world. We get all kind of stuff that's going on. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I went up to the thing this weekend, because I was distracted by all kind of stuff that's coming at me. All kind of stuff that's coming at me. And yes, God has called me to be your under shepherd. Absolutely. He's called me here to counsel you, to comfort you, to do whatever I can to help you. But when these distractions get too much for me, I'm no good to nobody. You understand what I'm saying? I'm no good to nobody, and I know that. I know some of you say, oh, Pastor, you gone again? I know you said it. But let me tell you something. I know when I need to get away. Because if I don't, let me tell you something. The distractions, the weight, the heaviness. I won't be here to be for you. But I'm here today to let you know that God has given me wisdom to know when I need to take a break. He's given me wisdom. Maybe not you. But you know what? I thank God for y'all. Because y'all, most of you, y'all good with it. Y'all good with it. You know, you allow me to go do what I need to do in order for me to come and to do what God has called me to do. But let me say something to some of you. Some of you have been distracted so much with family, with work, with illnesses, with depression, with so many things that's going on. And you're bowled over. You're walking with a weight on you. With the weight, and like Jesus, when the woman who was bowled over for 30 something years, he said, "Woman, thou art loose today," and she straightened right up. What did he mean by "woman, thou art loose"? Keep your eyes on me, woman. Keep your eyes on me, church. Get into my word. Get into your prayer closet. Turn the TV off. Turn the face head thing off. Turn it off. Stay out of it. And get into the word of God. Listen to what the word of God says. And the word of God says, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, You are distracted and worried about many things that really don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. He said, but your sister, she has chosen a good part, and it will not be taken from her. It will not. Because she chose to sit at my feet. She chose to hear the words of life. She chose to sit before me and gaze into my face. She chose that. And do you know that Mary was sit at Jesus' feet in John 11:32? She sat at his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair, and put ointment on his feet. And John 12:3, and then no. John 11:32, and then Mary was come when Jesus and saw him and fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. That's when her brother Lazarus had died. She's at his feet again. Mary loved being at Jesus' feet. Mary loved being at Jesus' feet. And in 12:3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary loved being at Jesus' feet. Do we love being at the feet of Jesus? Because if not, let me tell you something. All of this conflict, all these cares, all these worries, all of this stuff here will continue to be on you, to come to a point in your life you say, I don't even want to be here no more. Do you know that, church? Do you know people get so depressed, so downbeaten with life and cares of the world and things that I don't want to be here anymore? I can't tell you how many suicides that I've been to the cemeteries and the funeral homes. I can't tell you how many people called me. No one don't want to live anymore. And that's because you're bringing all these cares upon you. But let me tell you something. I got good news for you today. His name is Jesus. And he will take away those cares. He will take away those worries. He will take away those depression, that sadness. Everything that come upon us, Jesus is the answer. Jesus Christ plus. Period. Period. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, but wouldn't sit down to listen to him. Martha was distracted from hearing Jesus and doing all of her works. I got to raise my hand because I was a Martha for many years. I used to think that if you opened up my shirt, I had an S on my chest. You know how Superman would go into the telephone booth, and he'd come out, and he got a cape on, and he got that big S on, and he got them red tights on. Maybe not the tights, but I had the cape. Praise the Lord. Every time somebody Pastor, yep, I'm here. Pastor, yes, I'm here. Pastor, yes, I'm here. You know, burn the candles at both ends. But I tell you, God gave me a little wisdom. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, Mr. Man. Mr. Man. And that's why I tell you all the time, do not make me a necessity. Do not make anybody in this church, leadership, and anybody a necessity. Jesus Christ, period, is your only necessity. Him and him alone. Amen. Because if you do, you know, because I'm not going to be here all the time. You know, nobody knows the day or the hour when God's going to call us home. Amen. Nobody knows. So don't make me a necessity. You make Jesus Christ a necessity. And he'll always give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll always give you joy. Joy unspeakable. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the time. Mary at the feet of Jesus paid close attention to every word, not a word every now and then. Oh, let me read that again. Mary sit at the feet of Jesus and paid close attention to hear every word, not a word every now and then. Amen. Oh, well, you know, I came to church, but I didn't come to church last week because the golf course was open. I didn't come to church last week because I had eyebrow-itis. For those of you who don't know what eyebrow-itis is, it's very contagious. A lot of people have it. Oh, Pastor, I couldn't come to church last week because my eyebrow was hurting. Eyebrow-itis. But I went to church. I went to Bedside Baptist. Some of y'all didn't get that. Bedside Baptist. Oh, yes. What's that? Bedside, your bed. Side Baptist. You stayed in the bed. Oh, yeah. I'm coming at y'all. Now, why did you go to Bedside Baptist? Was it maybe Saturday night was a little long? Maybe. Just saying. Anyway, Mary at the feet of Jesus paid close attention to hear every word, not every word. Remember that when your service to God affects your relationship with God. Remember when your service for God affects your relationship with God. It's out of order. And like I say, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. You know, running around here, running around there, running around here, running around there. And yes, God has called me to be under shepherd. Yes, he's called me for to do works to do. Absolutely does. But when it affects my relationship with him, I'm out of order. And you are too. And you are too. Yes, we're to do works for God. Absolutely, we are. You know, we are his hands and we are his feet down here on earth here. But when it affects your relationship with him, something is out of order. And we need to stop and examine ourselves to see where we be at. And as I say, that is one of the reasons. And I remember that when I first got into ministry, my overseers and things, after maybe the second, third year, they said, you need to take a few days off. Oh, I'm good. You know, I'm young, strong, and I'm good. You know, I'm zealous, you know, for the ministry. Like I said, I thought I had an S on my chest. You know, a few years later, you need to take, when have you taken a break? Oh, I'll do it next year. I'll do it next month. They call me back in. When have you taken a break? Oh, I'll do it. And it got to a point here a few years ago, we're not asking you anymore. We're mandating that you're going to take time off, young man. Oh, I will. No, ain't no I will. You're going to do it. And that was one of the hardest things for me to get within me. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I hate for people to tell me I got to do something. You know, that's that old nature. You know, and when they set me down and they said, no, we're not requesting it anymore. You know, you're going to do it. You're going to take time off. And that was one of the greatest things that they imparted within me. Let me tell you something. And it was tough that first time that I went out because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen with Vera? What's going to happen with Don Foote? Dennis, really, really, I need to be there for Dennis. I need to be there for Scotty. Oh, yeah. But the Lord, like I say, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And when I got that in me and I was able to That's when it got good. My works was affecting my relationship. Because I'm running around like a chicken with his head cut off,
doing good works for God, necessary works for God, but God didn't call me to do all of that. He's God and I'm not. He's God and I'm not. We have men and women in this church who, when I'm gone, church goes on, don't it? Church goes on. It does. We got men and women in this church that will be there for you. We got men and women in this church that will counsel you, that will help you. If you have a need or something, you know, they will meet the need for you. Like I say, don't make me a necessity. Please don't. Don't lift me up because I'm just a man. Matter of fact, I am your servant. I am your servant. I'm here to serve you. You're not here to serve me. I'm here to serve you. But in order in my service, matter of fact, I got to keep that thing at a perspective and not go overboard where it affects my relationship with Jesus. You either will sit at the feet of Jesus or you will be his footstool. You will either sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him, or you will be his footstool. And you know what his footstools are? His enemy. His enemy is the footstool. The Bible says, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not for me, you're against me. And I know that everybody's in earshot of my voice. You want to be for Jesus, don't you? I got one more thing to read. I'm almost done. Praise the Lord. Wasting what God has given us. This is one of the devotions that I read. It's by Dr. Tony Evans. It says, let's take a look. No, that ain't it. God's person and his program. God's person and his program. Too many times people look for their calling apart from God. They do not take time to abide in Christ. John 15, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. Ain't that what it said? And to let God's presence manifest within them. Keep in mind that Moses did not get God's program at the burning bush until he responded to God's person. He didn't get the purpose that God wanted him, or the commission that God wanted him to, until he came to God. The person always precedes the program. Relationship always precedes the calling. The relationship always precedes the calling. That is something that us pastors that we've seen and we say, amen. Many are sent. And that means that God has anointed and sent them out into the world to be under shepherds. But there's many that just went. They didn't have that calling. They just went on their own. And the Bible says you will know them by the fruits. You will know those who are sent and those who went. Now, they can be very deceiving. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the last day, there'll be many false prophets. And there are many out there today. It's not enough to get on your knees and say, Lord, show me my calling. Show me your program, or show me what you want me to do. It says when your relationship with him is in despair, if you don't relate to his person, God won't trust you with his calling. Do you know that? God will not trust you. And I want to say something else. You know, I'll say it in a little bit. If you're married, how many in here is married? Raise your hand. Got a bunch of people married up in here. All right, praise the Lord. If you're married, have you ever tried to go out on a date with your spouse when the two of you are arguing and ain't getting along? Sister raising her hand back there. That's why she's doing renewing a marriage vow. She's doing a renewing a marriage vows. When is it? Yeah. Whatever she said. And it's going to be here at the church, and it's going to be right after we have our service. You know, her and her husband going to come, and they're going to renew the vows. Amen. Praise the Lord. But once again, you know, you tell you. You know, you done something all crazy and argued with your wife that morning, and then come home and say, honey, we're going on a date tonight. She's going to look at you and like, are you, no, you crazy. You know, after we done went through all of that there, praise the Lord. But anyway,
you are for a miserable evening trying to accomplish a program when your relationship is ruptured. When the relationship is repaired, the program is a lot easier and a lot sweeter. You go out and you have a good time. You go out and have a good time. God doesn't want you showing up only when you want something from him. Let me read that. God don't want you showing up when you want something from him to make him your 911 God, to make him your Santa Claus God. Lord, let me sit on your lap and let me show you my list of everything that I wanted. He wants an ongoing relationship with you every day, all day long. When Martha was busy cooking in the kitchen of Jesus for Jesus and the disciples, she began to complain to him, asking him to tell her sister Mary to help her out. Jesus responded that Mary has chosen the better path. She's chosen the better path. Jesus said, Martha, a casserole will do. Just cook one dish, then come sit at my feet. Mary has chosen to make me the most important than all the cooking that you can ever do. Mary has chosen to make me the most important thing that any meal, gourmet, or whatever can be. Jesus knew that if he sent Mary into the kitchen with Martha, he would have two frustrated women on his hands. But if Mary stayed with him, she would be somebody whose life was focused on him. Somebody whose life was focused on him. God wants a relationship with you before he is willing to give you his program. He wants a relationship with you before he's willing to call you, to give you a purpose. So many times people come back, Pastor, I don't know what my purpose is. Pastor, I don't know what my calling is. Pastor, I don't know what my giftings are. How's your relationship? How's your relationship with Jesus? Now, let me ask you something. Let's say that you got a sickness in your body. You got a something that's hurting in your stomach or your head or whatever. And you go to a doctor and the doctor comes out. And he's real, real young. And you look at him and you say, he says, why are you here? He said, I got hurt in my stomach, you know. And you say, well, doc, how long you been practicing medicine? Oh, you're my first patient. You're my first patient. And by the way, I didn't finish medical school all the way. I went to medical school, you know, but I didn't finish medical school. What are you going to do? Okay, doc. You're going to stand up and say, you're going to stand up and you're going to go home and you're going to find you a doctor who has proven himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's where it should be with us. We should be proven men and women of God who have sat at the feet of Jesus, has heard his teaching, has heard his word before we go out and try to work for him. That's what messed people up. I told y'all my story when I first knew that God had given me a shepherd's heart, and the elders and my pastor, they confirmed it. God has called you into the ministry, young man. I wasn't that young, but I was young enough. But anyway, and I'm chomping at the bits now. I'm ready to go pastor church. I'm ready to go pastor the Crystal Cathedral. Mega church. I'm ready to go pastor a mega church. You know, I'm called to be a pastor. Praise the Lord. You know, I want thousands of people out there. Amen. And I remember that I went and candidated for some churches and went back to the pastor. He said, nope. I'm thinking, well, you told me that I'm called for the ministry. You're not ready. Somebody else got a hold of me. Can you candidate? Yep. I'm going to candidate. Yep. Go to the pastor.
Nope. This went on for quite a while, to the point where I say, I'm thinking, he's jealous of me. He's envious of me. He's like King Saul, and I'm King David. I'm David. That's where I got, because I'm thinking, he's jealous of me. I know I'm called. I know God has given me a shepherd's heart. People are asking me to be the pastor. So what's the problem, pastor? He said, you're not ready. And I got frustrated. I got mad. I went behind his back and talked to a board at this church. They told me about how much they were going to be paying me. They told me about the parsons I was going to have, and I'm all set. And now I'm nervous because I done went behind my pastor's back. And when I went to talk to him, he says, you went behind my back, didn't you? I'm thinking, how you know? He said, because they called me. He says, you are not ready. And I stomped out of there. I was upset. I was about ready to leave the church then. But the Holy Ghost stopped me and said, he is your pastor and you need to honor him. He is your pastor and you need to honor him. You know, Pastor Larkins had been in ministry for over 50 years at that time. And even though I didn't agree with everything that he said, he was still my pastor. And I said, okay, pastor. And I remember when he came to me, he said, now you're ready. He said, when you thought that you were ready, you wasn't. He said, now you've humbled yourself. Now you've gotten to the place where God can use you now. And he says, it won't be long. I remember him telling, it won't be long that he's going to be leaving us. And I think it might have been a month or two after that. Brother Parrish, I don't know if you remember, because you was back then. You was dead back in that back then. Brother Morris Parrish, you was back there then. And I think it was a month or two later is when God called me and I started the Truth of Christ Christian Fellowship Church. And I've been pastoring ever since. But you see, I wasn't ready then. And pastor knew that I wasn't ready. I didn't have sense enough to know that I wasn't ready. You know, if I had a pastor one of them church, it'd have been a hot mess. It would have been a hot mess. If I had went to the pastor at that time. That's like giving one of them little footboys a key to your car. It'd been a hot mess. And sure they want to drive your car, don't they? Give them the keys. Get your grandpa's keys. Ask grandpa for the keys. Let him drive your car. Amen. But it wasn't ready. And that's the same thing. You know, we got to get ready for the work of the Lord, but we have to have a relationship with him first. If we don't have a relationship with him, I don't care all the works that you try to do, it's not going to work, church. That's why maybe some are frustrated. Why am I not growing in the Lord? Why am I not doing what I feel like I should be doing? Could it be? Just could it be that your relationship is not what it should be? Just a little food for thought at this time. Could it be? So let me ask you this here. If you're truly serious about being on Team Jesus, if you're truly serious about being on Team Jesus, you got to be all in. You got to be all in. You got to be one who is willing for all the distractions and sit at the feet of Jesus. And once you get that personal right relationship with him, that still small voice, now you're ready. Now you're ready for service for me. Now you're ready for the purpose in which I created you. And he created each and every one of us for a purpose. Every one of us, we have a purpose in life to serve God. So could it be that your relationship is not what it should be? I don't know. But he knows. So if you're here today, if you're here today and your relationship with Jesus is not what it should be, or it's not what you want it to be, or you want it to be more, or you want to have a relationship with Jesus today. Somebody might be here and might not even have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you this, that when we do come to Christ, when we do come to him, let me tell you something. He's the one that will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. He's the one that will give us joy unspeakable. He's the one that will make us the head and not the tail. He's the one that will make us more than a conqueror through him who loves. He's the one that we can do all things through Christ through strength in him. He's the one. And he's the only one. Now, is it going to be a life of just tiptoe through the tulips? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But if God be for you, who can be against you? He'll never leave you and never forsake you. Oh, let me tell you something, church. And most of y'all know this. Most of you know it. But just in case there might be one or two in here that might not know it. Let me tell you something. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you something. He's the light of the world. And once you taste it of his goodness, you don't want to taste nothing else but him. He's satisfying. So just in case somebody here this morning might not have that relationship with him at all, you can have that today. You can have it today. Some of your heart is beating kind of fast right now. You might have a little warm sensation on your seat. Might be breathing a little hard this morning and said, you know what, Lord? He's talking to me. He's talking to me. And today is the day that God is saying, I want to bring you out of darkness. I want to bring you into the light and bring you into the family of God. I want to bring you to a place where I can start using you. I don't care what your past might be. I don't care what you've done in your life. I can use you. If he can use a man like me, he can use anybody in here. Trust me. Trust me. So if that's you this morning, and you know that God is saying, today, I want you to come into the kingdom. Today, I want you to join the family of God. If that's you today, just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you have a relationship with Jesus, but you know it's in not where it should be, that you have distractions, that you have things that are keeping you from entering into the fullness of Christ, if you got things going on that's bothering you, worrying you, angering you, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it might be. You know, all of that fractures your relationship with Jesus. Do you know that? Unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Lord, I have faith, but I need more faith. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So as I pray this prayer, you know, and you call out to God, say, God, today I want to get whole. Today I want to do what Mary is doing. I'm not going to do Martha no more or Marvin. I'm going to do what Mary or Martha or Marvin. You could be a Marvin or whoever. See, I'm distracted right now. I'm sitting back there looking at Don Foote, looking up at Dennis. But anyway, if that's you, you know the prayer that you want to ask. You want more Jesus. You want to be more and more and more and more like Jesus. you know, to get the distractions out of your life and be focused. Get focused. Get focused. Keep the main thing the main thing. That's what you need to do. Keep the main thing the main thing. Not a word every now and then. Not coming to church every now and then. But once again, coming to church don't make you a Christian. Y'all know that. It's that relationship with Jesus. Amen. But the Bible says, forsake not the assemblings of yourself. You know that. You can't have no long ranges. No long ranger Christian. And I'm going to say this here before I do this prayer. There's so many of our people who have gotten comfortable by not coming to church. And I don't know if they're going to come back. When I talk to people, I'm going to say this here too. And to all of y'all who are listening, you know, if you're using this pandemic as an excuse not to come back to church, that's going to be on you. That's going to be on you. You know, people have gotten comfortable by staying home. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. And my prayer is that we won't use this as an excuse. A skin of a reason stuffed with a lie is what an excuse is. A skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what Pastor Larkins told me years ago. Took me a minute to get it, but it's truth. Don't use this pandemic. Don't use this hypocrites in the church. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But also the power of Jesus is in the church. Absolutely. There's also brothers and sisters here in the church that love you. Absolutely it is. So as I pray this prayer, wherever you are this morning, we're going to pray that you get focused and keep the main thing the main thing. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. For those, Father God, that might not know you as Lord and Savior, that don't have a relationship with you at all, I ask, Father God, that as I pray this prayer of salvation, they will pray this prayer with me, oh Lord. Father, I come before you today asking you to forgive me of my sins. I confess that I am a sinner, but Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose again on that third day, and I believe that he's sitting in heaven next to you. From this day forward, I accept this free gift of salvation by faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, everybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Lord, I'm calling upon you today to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and change me. Lord, you know that I have a relationship with you. But you, Lord, you know I'm distracted by many things. There's things, Father God, in my life that has not given me that priority of focusing on you and you alone. Lord, everything that's in my life that's keeping me from focusing on you, take it out of me by any means necessary. Lord, I want you to be the main thing in my life from this day forward. I would not have anything that will fracture my relationship with you. Lord, I want to keep my eyes on you every day, all day long. So, Lord, this day, I'm asking you to bring me to a greater level of faith, a greater level of commitment, a greater level of obedience, a greater level of desiring your word, oh Lord. I'm asking, oh Father God, you put in me everything that I need to be in me to keep you first in my life. I pray these things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all of y'all for being here today. Let's not forget Monday night, Rose of Sharon at 6 o'clock. Tuesday night prayer meeting, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night Bible study, 7 o'clock. And God bless. Don't forget, once again, they're doing a benefit for Howie at Mimi's out there on Route 3. And if you can't get there, if you want to be a blessing, there's a basket right there. Brother John and Brother Baker will point to the basket as you go out if you can. It's not necessary. I mean, it's not a forceful thing that you do it, but if God puts on your heart to bless them, amen. God bless you and have a great day. Everybody, God bless you. Thank you.